Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond's here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia, and he's done it! Lambert! There's the reply! Barry of the Haas! History made!
It's James Beattie. Oh, Belton!
Barry for the hat-trick! Shane Long takes Southampton to Wembley. Graziano Pelle with a left-foot strike.
Ward-Prowse lifts it and he's got it in as well. And Danny Ings has done it again.
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush, and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number. Back after a couple of weeks off and back with a busy one. Two games from the week to go over. Our second round Carabao Cup tie at Cambridge United, on which Ralph called a beautiful night. And then the return home to Premier League action against Manchester United. Much improved Manchester United. We'll be bringing in Tim Bazance in the away end to give us his thoughts on Tuesday night's visit of Chelsea and our trip to Molineux. But before that, I have the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton, with me to go over proceedings. Kevin, welcome back. I've missed you.
Ah, the feeling's mutual, mate.
So good to see you as well and chat. It's nice. It's very nice.
Feeling's the same. I've gotten a bit out of the habit of doing this, so...
Yeah,
it's kind of strange, really. But
yeah, it's been stop start, hasn't it, for both of us? Because you were on holiday, and then I was on holiday, and you know. But now, hopefully, back to normal. I mean, I've been sat on a beach sipping cocktails from a mason jar, and really been thinking about football.
You enjoy yourself, then?
I did. Yeah, it was nice to get away. But although the family did go with me.
Ah, okay. Well, still, they enjoyed themselves as well.
Yes, but I have to say it is good to get back to some normality with the football season again now. And how are you anyway? How are you getting on with everything?
Yeah, I've been sweating my tits off there. It's been very hot the last few weeks. Yeah, I think it's about the same as it's been in England, really. Early 30s.
No, we haven't. It hasn't been consistent for us. It's just we've had like 30s and it's then it's dropped down to the mid 20s and it's gone back up again. It's just all over the place. But yeah, I'm done with it. I just want the winter.
I think we've got a few days left and then it's going to get cold. So yeah.
Just like that. Just bang. That's it. The cold snaps come in. Yeah, I wish. Saints then, Kev, coming back off that Leicester win, go to Cambridge and, you know, Lewis Payne gets a debut. He grabs an assist. Dom Ballard comes on for his debut and he scores. You've got Diamond Edwards getting a couple of minutes as well on his debut. And of course, we've had red hot goal scoring form of Shea Adams, who had 4 goals in 4 days. And a good performance against United. Definitely deserved more from that game.
Yeah, I think so. But it's not all doom and gloom like we thought it would be at the beginning of the season, right?
It's definitely not. No, because they are playing with a bit of fight. And it's nice to see, because don't forget the Leeds and Leicester game. They come from behind in both those and got something out of it. And yeah, but they were showing it. There were signs of it against Man United and definitely should have got the win, but we'll get to that in a bit. But first, we've got some ICN news to go through.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay then, ITN News. To start, I'm going to, you know, bring some news off the field. Former Saints forward Rachel Panton has given birth to her baby girl, Cassidy. So yeah, massive congratulations from the In That Number team. And I hope you're getting enough sleep.
Ah. Yeah, congrats.
Yes. In the meantime, just in the last week or so, news come in that our new overlords, Sport Republic, they've overtaken, is that the right word? They've taken over their second club, Turkish second division outfit, Göztepe.
I'm so glad you said that because I couldn't pronounce it properly.
Yeah, they're like one of the big teams in Izmir. They've bought 70% stake in the club and left the previous shareholders with 30%, similar to the way that they bought out Gauss stake, but left Katerina in. So, yeah.
Hmm. What do you make of this?
I think it's exciting. Yeah, we could maybe get some decent young Turkish players to play in our club, or we could loan out some of our players out to there.
Yeah, it's a good move then, because I'm just concerned that they're just going to put all their attentions into turning that club into a force.
I wouldn't say so. I mean, I guess, you know, they'll employ more people to cover it. And, you know, Saints are a much bigger club than this club.
Yeah, for now.
Well, yeah, but I suppose there's a bit of money to be made in Turkey. And they've got a similar kind of up and down history to us. I mean, they were playing in the amateur divisions about 15 years ago. They bounced back and they were relegated last season from the Turkish top division.
Oh, so they're only in the second tier. That's all right. That's good. That's a nice little project for them.
Mm.
More news. Will Ferry, he's left. He's signed for Cheltenham Town.
No more Wollstone Ferry.
No more Wollstone Ferry. No, that's a sad one, actually, to see Will Ferry go. He's been here for a while. So, yeah, good luck to Will Ferry.
Yeah, I didn't actually realise that he'd never even played for Southampton.
No, never
not,
had a...
Not even in the League Cup or anything.
No?
No, and he had a reasonably decent season for Crawley last season, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he was playing for the under-21s, I think, we were in the Irish under-21s. And that's why we covered him a lot. Gave the illusion that he was close to the first team than he actually was.
Maybe, yeah.
Another outgoing movement, Kane Ramsey. He signed for Harrogate. Yeah, and he had a few loan spells. He was at Crewe and Ross County, wasn't he?
That's right, yeah. Ross County last season, wasn't he? Yeah.
Shrewsbury the year before. But yeah, he actually did have a couple of starts, didn't he?
He had a Premier League start.
I remember I'd come over to watch a match and you showed me the lineup and Kane Ramsey's in there, and I don't think either of us had ever heard of him at that point.
Right. Yeah. We have had a signing, though, a 16-year-old, Sam Amoamayar. I'm hoping that's how you pronounce it. He's joined from Spurs on a scholarship deal and actually played in the under-18s game yesterday as well, so he was straight in. So, yeah, watch out for him.
Yeah, in other news, Tino Livramento. He's
yes.
put a video out on social media of him back in some form of training.
Yep, looks keeping up. He's got the boots on. He's on the field. So, yeah, promising signs.
Let's hope he keeps it up.
Yeah, very good. Carabao Cup, third round. We have been drawn against Sheffield Wednesday at home, though. And that tie will be taking place on the week commencing the 7th of November. It's a long way away, isn't it, for the next round?
Yeah, that is true.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're all aware by now that former Saint David Armstrong passed away last Sunday at the age of 67. He represented Saints from 1981 to 1987, playing at 272 times, and he scored 71 goals. He is a true club legend. He was a big fan favourite as well. Player of the Year in 1983-84. Got his England caps around that time also, and he would later go on to radio coverage for Saints. Sad loss. I didn't actually watch him play because I'm too young yeah. for that. But I mean, I've known of him growing up and hearing him on the radio and stuff, so I know what a great player he was and how highly everyone thought of him.
Yeah, that's a good tribute paid to him at St Mary's weekend.
It's weird though, because I was only talking about him on the day that he died. It's like it was really, really strange. I was just talking about Radio Solent actually, and someone said, I remember when David Armstrong used to do the commentary, and I was like, oh Christ, yeah, and that same day he died. It was just, oh my God.
Yeah, it's weird.
Strange. Yeah. Transfer news, Kev. Have you heard any decent deals or anything that's tickling your balls?
There was one. There was a striker that we were linked with from Portugal, maybe, and I've completely forgotten his name.
Oh, you're talking about the Benfica one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
Nah.
It's nonsense because I spoke to Jacob Tanswell about that, and he was like, that rumor was all fan led. There was no,
really?
Yeah, there was nothing in that at all.
So yeah, I tried to find, because I must have seen something on Twitter and then tried to look it up and see if there are any articles. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's annoying when you got to sift through all the shit like that. But
speaking of sifting through shit, Yembe Darek's been linked to a deal taking him to Aston Villa.
Deal north of 15 million, I heard, and contracts. He's got his contract now still till 2025, though, so I'm not sure that they'll let him go, to be honest. I think we need the backups, don't we? At the moment, he is going to be a backup with Salisu and Bela Kocic playing so well. So.
Yeah, Lianco's in the mix there as well, isn't he?
Sure, and still Jack Stevens, although Stevens has been obviously linked away.
Yeah, I mean, we can't lose both of them, I don't think. Only one of them should go. And even so, it's going to leave us a little bit short, isn't it?
Yeah.
End up having to call back Donnell Simeon from the B team.
Yeah, and obviously we still don't know about Stevens. We still don't know about Walcott, Redmond. They could be on the move. I've heard that Stuart Armstrong could be moved as well, which is a big mistake if you ask me. And the one that I was really upset about was the Romeu one being offered a 3-year deal to head back to Catalonia with Girona. I don't know. I don't like that one. You know, he's 30 now. He's got 1 year left on his deal. It would be a great move for him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a deal that kind of makes sense. He's coming towards the end of his career with the Saints, but I don't know. You want him there, don't you, as an option?
Oh, yeah, I still think he's got more to give. And at the moment, he's playing backup, isn't he? Because Lavi has come in and done so well. Yeah. And let's face it, James Ward-Prowse is the first name on the team sheet. And then you've still got Diallo as well, who hasn't done anything wrong at all. I don't know. I like the balance that we've got in the holding midfield roles, and I think all four of them, we need them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Max Ahrens, I heard that, Norwich right back, 22 years old. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that would be quite... I mean, he wasn't too bad last season, was he?
No, I quite like him. It seemed like a perfect fit in terms of age as well, so...
I don't see it happening.
No, I can't. And obviously the news that won't go away is Ainsley Maitland-Niles, that's back. I know you've mentioned this before. You're not too keen on him, are you?
I think he'd be a good addition, but I think, you know, the wage that he would demand would be just too excessive.
I don't know, though. I mean, didn't he go to West Brom on loan?
Yeah, last season he was on loan.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't have been offering him too much. I don't know. I think it would be a good fit, to be honest. I quite like the idea of it. But again, we talked about it before. I like the idea that he's really, really versatile as well, because he can play as a wing back. He can play as a centre midfielder or as a full back. I just think, yeah, it would be good to get someone like that.
Ralph would love that sort of flexibility.
Exactly, yeah. So I think it's a good move. If the money's there, if the money's right, then I think it'll be a good move. But again, yeah, this could be bullshit. have you got any more transfer rumours? Ins, outs?
Not really, no.
No? I mean, it's going to get busy, isn't it, over the next couple of days?
It's quite quiet.
Yeah.
Are we really still expecting some players in?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we need we need a fullback, don't we?
Yeah, we need a fullback. I mean, maybe another centre back would be good if we want to shift on Bednarek.
Yeah, this is it, isn't it? If we are going to get rid of these players, are we going to replace them? Because I know we need another goal scorer. We need somebody up there. But again, if he's playing the formation that he played yesterday, then maybe not so much. But I don't know.
Still, I mean, I think, you know, there's not really an alternative to Shea, but I don't know, but Sekou Maré, not quite ready yet.
No. But yeah, I mean, I think if you ask any Saints fan, they'll say that they want a fullback. But I expect to be more outgoings than ingoings anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Loanies then, Kev. A couple of them to mention. I won't go through them all because some of them haven't had anything to report on. But Dan and Lundeloo's Cheltenham Town, he scored in their 1-0 victory at Exeter. That was last week, not the Saturday just gone. So that was good. Will Smallbone, yeah, little bit of news on him. He's on to his third manager of the season already because Stoke sacked their manager, Michael O'Neill, and they've moved on to an interim. So he'll soon be on his fourth. So I don't know where that leaves him, but let's hope they still favour him and that they continue to select him. Actually, they did select him yesterday, so that was nice. So he's still there. And Nathan Teller, obviously moving on to Burnley, which we hadn't covered. So since the last time we recorded, it happened after that. And he scored a brace on his debut against Blackpool in a 3-3 draw. And then Saturday, just gone, a 5-1 win at Wigan. And he was on the score sheet again. So he's doing very well. 3 goals in 2 games.
Yeah. Burnley, are they top of the championship?
No, they're not. They're like 6th.
All right.
I think Sheffield United have gone straight to the top, although they may have been knocked back down again. I won't tell you who's top of League One. Kev, we had some birthdays in the week, and I was wondering if you could guess their ages. No cheating. Are you up for this?
All right.
Okay, it was Maya Yoshida's birthday on Wednesday. How old is Maya?
34.
Oh, spot on, Kevin.
Wow, okay.
Well done. And Glenn Cockerell, a little bit harder. It was his birthday on Thursday. How old's Glenn Cockerell?
64.
Oh, he's 63, Kev. That was very close. Pretty good at this. I'm going to have to challenge you again. Right then, the B team. Actually, no, we've got 2 to go on. So, yeah, a good start to their Premier League 2 season. They had a 3-1 win over Forest. They followed that up with a 4-1 win over West Brom. And then a 3-0 win over Stoke. And then Friday night, recently, just Friday, just gone at the Snow Stadium, was a 1-1 draw against Norwich. Jake Vokins scored the goal. He had a good game, I thought he was really good. I went to that game, actually, and thoroughly enjoyed myself. But I don't know if you get the chance to watch the highlights of that, Kev, but I would recommend it, especially when Ballard come on.
Mm.
Because he was so hungry. You could see that he wants the ball. Even in the warm-up, he was just demanding the ball. He was shooting on sight. He looks like a really good player already. So they've got to keep hold of him now. And they are second in the Premier League 2, Division 2, on 10 points. And their next match is the Papa John's Trophy. And that's on Tuesday night against Forest Green Rovers away. And the women, they started their championship season off against Charlton at St Mary's, and unfortunately they had a 2-0 loss. And they are actually in action right now at the Dripping Pan Stadium against Lewis, and they are 2-0 down. Yeah, they've just started the second half. Again, not a good start to their season, but I mean they expected this, didn't they? Going up a division, you're going to have to up your game even more so.
Yeah, a big step up. And I mean, they've made so many new signings, it's practically a different team. So
yeah.
going to need a lot of time to get used to each other.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some good times ahead this season still. It's only the second game. And this match isn't even finished yet, so yeah. Under-18s, they started with a cracking 3-3 draw at home to Villa. And then they lost 4-1 away to West Ham. And then Saturday morning, a 2-2 draw against Chelsea. So they're winless, but two draws and one loss. And they sit in 10th on 2 points. And their next match is Crystal Palace away on Saturday, the 17th of September. Okay, are you ready for Cambridge?
No.
Okay, well, I don't care because we're doing it anyway. Satisfying, I guess. 3-0 victory. Only the 9 changes from the win at Leicester. And Ralph handed debuts to Lewis Payne and Dominic Ballard. Amazingly, this was the first competitive meeting between Saints and Cambridge. Really hard to believe. But yeah, they sold out max allocation of 1,463 tickets for a Tuesday night 260-mile round trip. I mean, that's to be applauded, right?
It's a great night out, then.
Yeah.
Just like Newport last season.
Yeah, they had a good win, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Yes, a 3-0 win, comfortable, and another brace from Che, and a debut goal for 17-year-old Dom Ballard. 13 minutes after coming on. 13, that's all it took. Good, yeah. Starters then, Kev, it looked like a 4-2-3-1. Elianusi, Stu, and Adam Armstrong providing support for Che. You had Diallo and Romeu holding, and then you got Payne starting on the right, Valerie on the left. And who was it? Bednarik and Lianco at the back, wasn't he? And McCarthy between the sticks.
Mm.
Kev, that was... we've mentioned Romeu, you know, being pushed out of the team by Lavia. But much needed game time for him. I suppose Diallo and McCarthy as well.
Yeah. I mean, you say 9 changes, but I mean, it's a fairly strong team we've got. It just shows how deep the squad is at the moment. But players that last season or the season before would have been regulars. Like Armstrong, Bednarik, Romeu,
yeah,
McCarthy. This is a big outing.
It was good, yeah. It was good to see all those players that need the minutes get on as well. And plus, we saw Ballard come off the bench. We saw Mara also.
Diamond Edwards,
yeah, a couple of minutes at the end. So happy all round with it.
Yeah.
I mean, was there anything in that 11 that you were unhappy with?
Not at all. I was maybe a little bit sort of surprised by Payne, but I mean, we've got that. Well documented problem with the fullbacks, so this is an ideal opportunity for him to make his debut.
Yeah, he did. Wow.
I know. I think it's strange though that Valerie. Again, he had a decent game. He's been quite good whenever I've seen him play this season, but still Hasenhüttl prefers to play Gineppo out of position rather than put Valerie in his natural position.
Yeah, that raises red flags, right?
Well, I mean, it would do if he clearly wasn't up to it. But whenever I've seen him perform, he's been fairly decent.
Yeah, back to his debut season sort of form, which is if you can't get into the team at the moment with the fullback problems that we have, then you've got to be doing something wrong. But
Score an absolute blinder against United?
He certainly did, yeah. That was at Old Trafford as well, wasn't it? He just...
See, I'd rather put him in there, just, see if he can be doing it.
So the opening goal then, it came after a quarter of an hour, and Adam Armstrong finds Lewis Payne open down the right, and he's allowed to just stroll into the box and fire a low cross into the path of Adams, and he slots it away. Did you see the goals?
Yeah. That was just a nice little... poach tap in there. Brilliant cross from Payne.
And Adam Armstrong finding him in space and holding the ball up well. And yeah, I thought, nice goal. Nice build up.
Yeah, I mean, didn't Adam score just before that? But it was just off right. Handball.
Yeah, that's right. It went, the linesman put his flag up, didn't he? If only they had seen it yesterday, but hey. More on that in a bit. But yeah, it took a long time to get the second. It was like 10 minutes into the second half and Adams did it again. Questions of handball in the build-up from the home fans. I'm not...
It didn't look like a handball.
I don't know. I don't think... It probably was, but that close and...
There were so many phases of play in between.
It would have been difficult, yeah.
No point.
But so, yeah, Adams has his shot, and it's saved by Mannion in the Cambridge goal, and then it falls to Romeu, who hits one. It takes a deflection. It took a deflection on the way through. He saved it again, and he just parried it into the ever-ready Adams, and he scored his fourth of the season, fourth in as many days as well. And that was it. That took the tie away from Cambridge, really, then, didn't it?
Yeah, maybe not man at the moment, but, Valerie, just after having a shot saved by the keeper, puts in a brilliant cross.
Brilliant cross.
Ballard to get the shot off. Keeper does save it, but it's amazing the confidence he's got for such a young lad.
Yeah, you should hear him as well. He's got a gob on him as well.
Yeah.
For someone at 17, and he's, like, telling all the players in the warm-up at the B team the other day, he's not shy, that's for sure.
Fucking
yeah, that's what I mean. He's got a bright future. You love to see it. And I know it was against League One opposition, but you felt it was important that Lianco and Bednarek had good games, because both were kind of like slipping down the pecking order behind Salisu and Belakotchap. But they remained tight, weren't they? Tighter than an Italian waiter's keks.
Yeah.
Good games.
Yeah. No, good. They're keeping up the game and keeping the competition up for the places, because, you know that. If Brother Kotchap or Silesia have a rough game, they're waiting in the wings there to take their position.
For sure, yeah. It's you know that Ralph likes to do that, right? Because you've seen it with the goalkeepers. Yeah. The goalkeeper makes a mistake, the next one comes in, and it could be a while to get your place back again. So I think it's just as important for the centre-backs.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Adam Armstrong, Kev. I want to discuss Adam Armstrong with you, because I was happy to see him on the team sheet again, because I don't know, I just really, really want him to succeed here.
It does sort of smack of him being just that little bit unlucky.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he's too good a player, right, for the streak to continue, but it's just not happening for him. And I don't know. A goal here would have done him the world of good. I mean, Ralph seems to be playing him a little bit on the left. He certainly was against Man United yesterday as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's going to be the problem for him. But his work rate hasn't differed, has it? He's just been there and he's done it. He's still putting the work in. But are you worried about him at all?
I'm not worried about him as long as he's in the squad. I mean, he does, put in hard work. It's not all about scoring goals, but...
No. But he needs it. He needs one.
He does need it. Yeah, I mean, I was so pleased for him when he scored on his debut, didn't he, at Everton last season. It was a brilliant goal. And
Villa one, you were there for that.
And the Villa one that he scored, that was an absolute blinder. But yeah, other than that, that was it. That was his season, really.
Yeah, he's doing everything but scoring. Because I think the Man United game, I thought he was excellent yesterday. I know a lot of people aren't probably going to say that I'm... You know, that's going a bit over the top, but I thought he was doing everything that was asked of him. It's not easy being asked to play off of Shea, who's, the man of the moment, and rightly so. But yeah, I don't know. With Che, you always feel like it was a ketchup bottle situation, that one goes and then they all start coming. That's what it's been like for him at Saints completely. But with Adam Armstrong, do you think it just needs that as well? You get one and that's it. They're all going to start coming.
I suppose, I mean, as long as Che's, putting them away, I don't think we've got much to worry about. We're not relying on him for the goals.
No, that's true. And he's putting the work in. He is pressing and doing what he's asked to. He got off one shot against Cambridge and it was on target. He had two crosses. The first two goals, he was involved in the build-up as well. I mean, he found Payne in space, who then put the cross into Che. But yeah, no, I don't think he had a bad game by any means against Cambridge. But I'd just say a goal would have done him the world of good against Cambridge. And obviously Lewis Payne, good debut, strong performance, I guess. Like, I've got some stats here on him. So he had 66 touches, 40 passes, 83% pass accuracy, 2 chances created, 3 clearances, 1 tackle, 1 block, 1 interception and an assist. That's pretty good on your debut.
Not bad on your debut.
No, he's very young. This young team, isn't it? But yeah, it was. I was impressed. He wasn't fantastic defensively. I thought, he was better going forward. But yeah, he's young, so yeah, he's going to be. I hope he's going to be involved in more games for the first team.
Yeah, I just hope he doesn't fall into that sort of black hole between the B team and the first team that so many players seem to have fallen into.
Yeah, Will Ferry and Kane Ramsey. Yes,
Smallbone.
Subs, Kev. He brought on Aribo, Gineppo, Mara. I think the Mara one needed to happen a lot earlier because Che had scored his two goals. Mara needs the minutes and Che needs to get ready for United. I don't know why that happened as late as it did. Otherwise, oh, and of course you got Ballard come on and Diamond Edwards come on as well. So,
maybe he was just trying to be fair and giving Che the chance to get his hat trick.
Yeah, maybe. Che didn't look upset being taken off though, did he?
No, I mean, like you said, he needs to be rested for ready for United.
Yeah, a quick turnaround that was. Some stats, Kev. Have you got any stats?
Just the usual. We had 18 shots, 9 of which were on target. So they keep a pulled off 5 saves.
He looked good. He looked good. Yeah, even the goals that we did score, he saved the first ones.
Yeah, there was two rebounds, weren't there?
Mm.
And yeah, one at close range there. Wasn't going to get to. So they had a decent match. Obviously, we bossed possession 62%.
But yeah, that's a comfortable victory. That's just what you like. Actually, the post-match interview manager, Cambridge manager Mark Bonner, had some lovely things to say about us post-game, which was quite classy. I don't know if you heard, but he said he loved the play of Saints. He said, I loved their performance. Mm. I know it sounds stupid, but I did. We just said to the players in there, it's a waste of time if we don't learn something from them. The way they committed to their pressing game when they pressed, the way they counter-pressed us and how clinical they were with the ball. They're just top players playing at a top level. For all of us, it was a brilliant experience to play against it and see that live. We had to work so hard to stay in the game. Yeah, that was classy from a classy manager, I guess.
And, yeah, I think he'd love to hear. Yeah, I did hear that after the match.
Oh, that's good. And yeah, I just want to say what a great job he's doing as well at Cambridge, because he's been there since 2011. I only say this because I was listening to Radio Solent and Adam Blackmore commented on how well he's done and he's worked his way up. And he's got them playing at a good level in League One. And you know, they only gained promotion from League Two in 2021. So he's doing well. So.
Well, they were out of the league system entirely not so long ago, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's been there since 2011, so he's had a part in it. And and Ralph said it was a beautiful evening. The crowd was fantastic. A good result with some good moments for our young players who, for the first time, had a chance to play. It was a good evening. So, yeah, I just guess it was echoed what we just said. Man of the match, Kev?
It's got to be Charlie.
Yeah, I don't think... Yeah, you can't really say anybody else, can you? It's going to... If he's going to have any kind of success this season, we need him or Adam Armstrong to start scoring freely. And in these two games, Che's done it and he's been great. So, yeah.
It's a mad moment.
Yeah, his strength and his movement as well, especially against Leicester. He was exceptional. And, you can't say he's only done it because it was against Cambridge, because he did that against Leicester. So
he really had the bit between his teeth against Leicester.
Oh, and yesterday as well. He was good yesterday as well, like, chasing down lost causes and stuff. It's great. And on to that Man United game then. Just one change, Kev, an expected one, and that was Che for Mara, otherwise unchanged. And you got to be happy with the selection against Man United, right?
Yeah.
I think my only gripe is that I want to see Stuart Armstrong instead of Elyounoussi.
Yeah, possibly. And, you know, maybe two actual fullbacks, maybe once this season would be nice.
I'm guessing you're talking about Gineppo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of love him at the same time, but he's not a left back.
It's funny you should say that, because when I think it was Alanga was attacking down that side and he just went past him like he wasn't there, I looked over to the bloke next to me and he said, we both said it at the same time, oh, he's not a left back, is he? But yeah, Pero was on the bench, right? Pero come on, so obviously he didn't really feel like that he was ready for a start. But
yeah,
do you think Chelsea's going to be too soon for him? I don't know.
It can't be much worse, can it?
I don't think he was that bad.
He's all right getting forwards. I mean, I'd love to see him do his like trademark dribbles and that sort of thing.
But, yeah, you like him on the ball, but just not with his back to goal. And
one-on-one.
Yeah, I don't trust him there. But anyway, it was 1-0. Bruno Fernandes, 10 minutes into the second half. This game, Kev, I mean, I thought it was a very evenly matched game. We both had chances and we were unlucky, especially with that handball decision, which I'm sure we'll get to shortly. But some very good individual performances as well. Bela Kotchev did really well. Salisu too. I mean, that bit at the end when he sorted out Ronaldo with no issues, which was nice to see. Ronaldo showing his age there.
We just equalised, by the way.
I've seen, Saints have just equalised against Lewis from 2-0 down. This is brilliant. What a response, This is like Leeds all over again.
Yeah.
Go and get a winner. Go on, girls.
I'm already piling on the pressure.
Lavia as well continues to impress. I love that kid. I think he's brilliant. And Bazunu has not put a foot wrong.
I was worried at the beginning of the season that, you know, we've got quite a lot of exciting youngsters that we signed, but again, no experience. But from what I've seen of almost all of the signings, it's been really, really positive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a young team and they're going to take time, but they've seemed to have settled into it pretty nicely. And it was an even start to the game as well. But, you know, I suppose the first point was that goal line stands that we have to talk about in the 20-minute mark. And
yes,
Zunu, Walker-Peters, Bela Kotchap, all just throwing themselves in front. Fantastic defending, really. I don't even know how that stayed out.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I listened to the first half on the radio and watched the second half. And Adam Blackmore was having a seizure at that point. He just couldn't believe that United hadn't scored. It was, a defensive masterclass from Kyle Walker-Peters blocking Fernandes twice. Allowing the shot saved by Bazunu, close range. I think you get two touches on that as well.
Yeah.
And finally, Eriksen blocked by Kotchap. It all just happened so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the other end, as usual, and because I'm quite low down, I didn't really like see how far out it was, but it looked like it was like right on the goal line. It's like, how have they not scored there? Like, what has happened? And I couldn't see. I had to wait for the highlights to actually see how good it was. But yeah, it's excellent defending. But it's nice to see that, you know, we're putting the work in as well and you're staying in the game. But we didn't really test De Gea, did we? Or create anything threatening. Aside from that, there was a corner. And it fell to the feet of Bela Kotchap, and he was reaching and stretching, and he just got underneath the ball, and it went over the bar.
Yeah, I mean there were a few headers, weren't there, here and there that could easily have gone in if it wasn't for De Gea.
Yeah,
Rebo had a decent header.
That's right. Yeah, that was Adam Armstrong with the cross, wasn't it? On that Adam Armstrong did so well to get that cross in because he kind of picked the ball up from the halfway and ran at Dallo, didn't he? And then he managed to get the cross in, and what a cross it was. Aribo straight at De Gea.
I mean, towards the end of the match, it was the pressure was really piling on, and I was convinced that we were going to score, but just nothing came from
it. Yeah, I guess you were convinced because we've done it against Leeds and against Leicester.
Done it against United, so enough.
Yeah, just turning things around and not letting it get to them. The response is great. Do you know what? I was surprised that when the referee put 5 minutes, was it 5 minutes or 6 minutes stoppage?
It was six. Yeah.
Six. I was really surprised at that because I thought, you know, this is Man United deep into injury time. They've got the 3 points in the bag almost. Referee's going to put 1 minute up. I know it. And then six come up and I thought, my goodness, there is a chance. And that's great when you actually believe that they can do something like that. And it did make the... you know, it did make for an interesting finale anyway.
But you were the crowd pretty much whipped up by that point.
Oh, yeah, standing up, edge of the seat, especially when Mara had that bicycle kick as well.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, is it? But, yeah. Oh, and also, I want to talk about that Bela Kotchap tackle on Alanga in the box. That was incredible. Goal saver, for sure.
Yeah, unbelievable. And Cicelita was right there. They sort of double-teamed him, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Double-teamed him, yeah. The goal, Kev, the Bruno Fernandes goal, good build up. It was a good finish. Yeah, put it right in the corner. what do you bring? Was it just a lack of concentration? I mean, you could argue that Prowse sort of like walked away from him and left him.
It was clearly Fernandez was Prowse's man, and yeah, he just got caught ball watching and left him with pretty much half of the box to work in.
Unlike him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But I mean,
beautiful cross from Dalvin, and yeah, wonderful volley from Fernandez. Just kind of shows how it's done. But real shame to, yeah. Well, once they keep your eye off the ball, but yeah, keeping your eye off the player and on the ball.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I will say about Ward-Prowse there is that he kind of went towards Alanga because Alanga was making a run into the box, and I think he had his eye on him and just took his eye off of Fernandez. So he probably,
it's fucking zonal marking again.
Yeah, it probably went the wrong way, but yeah, it is what it is. It was a good finish, like you say, and ridiculous decision, the handball. I say this is a handball. I mean, I don't know what everybody else is going to say, but how on earth can the ref not see that in real time? I mean, I saw it from the other end of the pitch. The ball stopped and it changed direction. I was like, and apparently they checked VAR, well, so they tell us anyway, but how do we know they actually did? What has happened there? How has that not...
Was it not stopped?
No, the game didn't stop. He just, straight away, the ref did the whole, like, arms apart, like, no, nothing. And then, yeah, that, apparently they said on the TV that they have checked and it's nothing, like, pretty instantly. So I don't know what happened there.
Want the ref to take a look at that.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Why was that not given? It's a blatant penalty.
I mean, Ralph said after the match, didn't he? He said, well, you know, what can you do if he hits it with his arm three times? Like,
yeah.
They still don't give it.
Yeah.
Not much you can do.
It's not good. But when you weigh it all up, Kev, I said, we were unlucky because on another day, we may have won that game and we come away with nothing. You know, we've had Well, I don't know, because we had more shots, more chances. I just couldn't find that one goal and that ridiculous handball decision. I think, yeah, I'm not saying that we deserve to win the game. I just thought another day we probably could have done.
I think it was a fairly even match. You know? I mean,
like, for sure.
The shots that we had, I mean, a lot of them were, you know, either sky high or way wide of the post.
But they were creating the chances.
Yeah, true. Five shots on target. United got six on target.
Yeah. But we had 17 shots in total to their 11. So, and I haven't got the possession stats here, but I don't reckon it was too bad.
It's
for us.
Very 48-52.
Yeah, there you go.
In favour of United.
Yeah.
And XG was almost even, 1.48 for us and 1.5 for United.
Wow. Yeah. See, it was a very even game. But to think that we got nothing out of it.
It's disappointing, but you know, at least we didn't get thumps like Bournemouth.
Yeah, well, we have been there before. Yes. I want to talk about Bela Kotchap here because I think he's the man of the moment.
His taste. Saucy.
So, I can see what you're doing there. I'm going to leave it. we do have to take the positives away from the loss. And Bela Kotchap was certainly that, wasn't he? I mean, I got some of his individual stats here if you are interested. If you're not, I'm still going to read them. Oh, good. 35 accurate passes, 60 touches, 2 accurate long balls, 1 last man tackle, 2 blocks, 1 headed clearance, 2 interceptions, 6 recoveries, 4 ground duels won, 5 aerial duels won.
And a partridge in the bench.
Yeah. I think he's done really well. Again, and when you know you're coming up against the likes of Rashford, Sancho, Fernandez, Ronaldo, it must have been shitting himself. A little bit, but he...
I was, but...
yeah.
But if not, just because, I mean, he does love to get forward, doesn't he? He's sort of,
yeah.
That marauding centre-back. And you think with our defence, it's going to leave us very exposed. But it wasn't really the case. He's quite quick as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I like him. I do. I have to admit, I was a bit unsure of him when I watched him in pre-season. I thought he made a few mistakes, and I thought, oh, I don't know, is he what we need right now? But no, he's doing well.
Yeah.
Kevin, man of the match for you?
Can I ask what yours is?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bela Kotchap.
You're going to go with Bela Kotchap?
I am.
I thought.
I mean, there were some really, really good performances individually for all of them. I thought Adam Armstrong is not going to get the recognition he deserves for his game. I think Che Adams played well again, just doesn't stop moving. But Kyle Walker-Peters as well was brilliant.
Yeah.
He was doing everything right, and he had that block as well. But I'm going to give it to Bellicocha just because it's a coming-of-age game for him, I feel.
Mm. Yeah, I'm torn between him and Kyle Walker-Peters, who managed to get me out of my seat enough times. Yeah, why not? I'll give it to Kyle.
Okay, well, that's fair. That's evened it out. Right, we need to get in Tim in the away end. Okay, we're back in the away end, and we're here with Tim. T. Bizzle, Tim Bizance. Hey, Tim.
What's going on? How you doing, everybody?
Yeah, all right.
I'm super.
Did you have a great holiday, Ray?
I did, yeah. It was nice just to get away. And as I said to Kev, it was nice to get away from everything, but I did have the family with me. So. But no, it was nice not to happen to not to get up in the mornings and stuff, and just to get some rest more than anything. I'm back to work tonight actually though, so yeah, 2.5 weeks off and I'm back to it. And Tim, you're off on holiday soon.
That is correct. I leave on Tuesday.
So you're not going to be here next week. Ah, that's a shame.
Well, you could have a volcano somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, can you get a signal up there?
Probably in Reykjavik, yeah.
Yeah, you make sure you get on there for the Wolves game, because you're gonna be traveling for the Chelsea one, aren't you?
I will be able to. My flight leaves at 8:30 on Tuesday night, and the game starts at 2:45 p.m. local time here Eastern. So yeah. I'll be able. So we are literally watching the game. And then going to the airport.
Good stuff. Okay, so I'm going to start with a joke. I was hoping for a little bit more enthusiasm than that, but okay. Did you hear about the scarecrow that won the Lifetime Achievement Award?
No.
He was outstanding in his field. I liked it. Nice. Anyway, yeah, Chelsea, not a joke. Tuesday, the... 30th of August, 7:45 kickoff at St Mary's. It's also live on BT Sport. Yes, biggest wins against Chelsea. We had a 5-0 win in 1969. Ron Davies with two, Jimmy Gabriel, Mick Shannon, and an own goal. We had a 4-1 win in 1975. Shannon, two, Stokes, and Holmes. So, yeah, not too many big wins against Chelsea. Actually, head-to-head, we have won 31 times. So they're 49, and we've actually drawn 31 as well. Tim, how are we going to get on this time?
I think we have a better chance than we hoped or could have thought, because with Chelsea's last couple games, there's a few things in flux that we've seen. And despite their third place finish last season and just losing to Liverpool in the FA Cup final, there's still some instability there. There's a lot going on, and in the last two games, Chelsea's gotten two red cards, one of which was being Kubiali and the other one being Conor Gallagher, which led them to have two-thirds of the game with 10 men.
And they still ended up winning. Yeah.
And they still won.
That's a worry. So, and don't forget, they beat us 6-0 here last season. So,
in addition to that instability, I mean, they've also got the people that they're looking to sign right up until the window closes. So that's Wesley Fofana. And then there's also links to Anthony Gordon, the new ownership led by Todd Bailey, who is the Los Angeles Dodgers owner, is throwing money around like it's ridiculous. So congrats to him for being able to do that and have that much money. It's almost sickening. But so some priority acquisitions that they have coming into the year: Raheem Sterling, Kubiali, Mark Cucurella, and then, of course, the American Gabriel Slovenia Gaga from the Chicago Fire, goalkeeper, most importantly of all. Some big additions going in there, but they had a lot of outgoings that were major influences. Number one being Danny Drinkwater. He was such a massive influence there, because when you have to have an influence of drinking water, that's the most important thing you can do in your life. But actually, people
The jokes just keep coming.
So they've lost Antonio Rüdiger, Andreas Christensen. Lukaku was just a complete all over the place craziness that we know that transfer saga. And he's back on. He's back to Inter on loan. Alongside Timo Werner is gone. And they somebody who we were linked with significantly in Levi Colwill is on loan at Brighton in kind of a swap deal with Marco Gorilla. Cucurella, I think, is how you pronounce it. So, yeah. So I talked to a buddy of mine from work. We had a nice long conversation. This was a little bit better than asking people on Reddit about their opinions of what the best five-a-side team would be. But it was really tough for him to even consider any Saints players on the team. But with a 3-2 setup, here's where the craziness comes in. In goal is Kepa.
Okay.
It's not Mendy, because he believes that Kepa's way better at his feet than Mendy could be, and he knows nothing about Bazunu. So I gave it to him because I think that Kepa being, 6 feet tall, he might be a little bit better with his feet than Mendy might be.
Yeah, I see that.
So then to finish it out, Reece James, Kyle Walker-Peters, Raheem Sterling, and Che Adams.
Wow.
It's five-a-side team.
Kev, would you agree with that? If you had to pick a five-a-side team between Saints and Chelsea, but you have to have at least two from one team, who would you go with? Would you agree with that? I would definitely be taking Bazunu in goal.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because then you just get more outfield Chelsea players. I'd probably take Kyle Walker-Peters as well, and then I'll just fill the rest with Chelsea superstars.
I'll put Prowsey in there. We have to have two Saints players. Prowsey,
yeah.
Stuart Armstrong on his day.
Although what Tim says, Che would be good in five-a-side because he's a big body as well, isn't he? And just throw himself around everywhere.
Maybe not a bad choice. Raheem Sterling, definitely have.
Yeah, you'd have to have Sterling.
So their formation, a little bit all over the place, but primarily based on a setup with those three primary center backs, with the right center back being able to be flexible and move off and push up as needed. So with Cucurella being signed, he threw in that left center back role that also could be the left wing back. So it's just a little bit all over the place with in terms of setup, logistics. It's just you can't really tell. But right now, what you're looking at is you're looking for Mendy being the start and the goalkeeper for them. Then from there, you've got Kubiali coming back from his red card suspension. So expect him to come back in. Alongside, we're looking at Thiago Silva as well in that center back role. Then last but not least, you're going to look at Cucurella on that center back three. And then I'm looking at Ben Chilwell to come in for the first time in his first start. And then on the right wing is going to be Reece James. So from there,
Reece James had a good start.
Yeah. So I'm looking, Conor Gallagher is out. So they're hoping Kovacic is coming. Yeah, it's going to be back from injury, but they don't expect him to be. So look for Jorginho. And then that other center mid, it's a little, it's unknown right now. But I think they will probably be able to go. I'm going to put Kovacic in there because he did come on as a sub in the last game against Leicester just to get his feet wet and get back into it. Now, Mason Mount hasn't had a great start to the season as he had hoped for, but I think he still retains his place alongside Raheem Sterling and Kai Havertz up top for their starting 11.
Predictions then?
So the key battle today, or at least coming up here against Chelsea, is Che against Kubiali. Big body against big body. We'll see what they're able to do. Kubiali's rested. And Che, I think he did a fantastic job throwing himself. And while he didn't score against Manchester United, really put a shift in and really caused some havoc up there. I think that's the big matchup. But unfortunately, I think it'll come out to a 2-1 loss against Chelsea.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to. I think it's going to be much like the Man United game. I think we're going to put a shift in. We're not going to disgrace ourselves, but I just think Chelsea are going to have a little bit too much for us and they're going to beat us 2-0.
I think we're going to get outclassed just like against Tottenham. And I think we're going to lose 3-0.
So we're all going for Chelsea wins then. Saturday, Wolves away. Saturday the 3rd of September, 3 o'clock at Molineux. Biggest results against them then at Molineux. We won 6-2 in 1976. 4-1 in 2004, and we won 6-0 in 2007 at Molineux. That's, yeah, I remember that Saganowski with a hat-trick. Tim, are you expecting better things against Wolves?
I think this game is going to be lethargic. I think this game is going to be probably one of the more dull ones that we're going to see in the year. And I think that both of our teams are the offensive prowess, are the lacking capabilities of true goal scorer and goal scoring opportunities is going to come to fruition in this game. So with Wolves on the year, they were extremely mid-table, 10th place finish, straight up. So good for them. Their first full year of their manager, Bruno Lage. And ultimately, they brought in a few players this year that are going to make a huge difference. The three main ones that we're looking at are Nathan Collins from Burnley, who's a 21-year-old center back, Goncalo Guedes from Valencia, and Matias Nunes from Sporting Lisbon. I think I got all those names pronounced correctly. So those three are looking like are going to be some real big shouts. I think you're going to see Guedes. Oh man, now I feel like I'm butchering it. Taking over, and I don't think you're going to see Raul Jimenez starting. He's going to be more of a backup there. And throughout it, though, they did lose a few players that we might be familiar with. Roman Saiz, Morgan Gibbs-White on a ridiculous deal to Nottingham Forest, and Connor Cody is on loan now at Everton for the year. So seeing all that, there's definitely some shakeup on their team, but I think, once again, they still maintain themselves as a mid-table team. And going into a five-a-side matchup. Well, thank you to the Wolves subreddit for everything and for tips and information on this. Jose Sa is the absolute 100% choice for everybody here.
Yeah.
You are looking at Kyle Walker-Peters, Ruben Neves, James Ward-Prowse, and Pedro Neto is the one that they're looking for. Not too many people were able to jump out and say Guedes or Nunes is the as true players to want to put in. So they went with Pedro Neto. So we've got the WPs on our side with Ruben Neves, Pedro Neto, and Jose Sa in goal.
I like that team. I think that's good.
So you're looking out for the key battles right now. We're going to see what our formation is going to be. I know with midweek game, you might see some shakeups going into it, but I still think we solidified that center-back matchup with Bela Kotchap and Salisu. So I want to see how they are going to be able to push up against Guedes. I think he is a serious talent, and having watched his highlights from Valencia leading into this preview, I was really, really impressed with him. So seeing the matchup of ABK and Salisu, that's going to be a lot of fun to see, because I really think that we can take it to him.
With that, then, predictions. It's me, isn't it, Kev?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like you, Tim. I think this is going to be quite a slow, boring one. I can't see a big scoring game here at all. I am going to go with a 1-1 draw.
I was going to say something similar. I'm just trying to be different. I'll go with a 0-0.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that too. And Tim's not really filling me with confidence about the team either. So.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, I think it was the Burnley matchup where it actually ended up being a barn burner with the 2-2 going back and forth with each other. But I don't think that's today where you thought the teams weren't going to go out too well or match up really well. I think it's going to be 0-0. I don't think that. I think you will see, though, a couple changes in the team or in the lineup. I think you'll see probably some type of rotation with Stu coming in or Perot coming in for Gineppo, and maybe even a Mara Adams switch up. Something to see that they're going to find is a tactical adjustment, and maybe even just a potential true rotation leading into a midweek Premier League game, and then an end of the week Premier League game as well.
Do you know what? I'm gonna say that at some point in this week, Dom Ballard is going to be on the bench. He is going to be called out. Probably the Wolves one.
Watch this space.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So, yes. Discord predictions. Obviously, everyone went for a Saints win over Cambridge, and some of you went 3-0. So, well done to, it was Greg Kaplan, New Jersey Scott, Dan Fox. They bang on with theirs. United predictions. Tim, do you realise only four people went for a United win, and we were two of them?
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised seeing all that. Everyone was, you know, having confidence in ourselves, and I was like, huh.
Yeah, thanks. Why?
That's very reactionary of you to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were the only one. Well, there's four of us that went for a United win, but no one actually got a 1-0. So, yeah, we were the only ones that got points there. If you want to see the Discord table, it's in the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's got to knock Kev off. Oh, no, Kev's not top anymore, is he? But
you.
No, but you're doing very well, Kev. Super 6 then. Round 4 was not finished yet, but we've got a few more rounds to go back over. Round 2 was Tony Randall with 19. Round 3 was Terry Lubbock and Dan Buck with 15. And as I say, round 4 not finished yet. Overall, at the moment, Tony Randall has 39 points. Kev, I'm going to go to you for this, fantasy football.
Yes.
Great week for you last week. You were top of the league, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I've kind of been there or thereabouts most of the season, although this week I've had a bit of a shocker.
I beat you again, didn't I?
Yeah, my choice of captain was bad, and I transferred Virgil van Dijk out just at the right moment. So
unlucky.
Yeah, the only Liverpool player I got was Mo Salah, who had absolutely nothing to do with that. No, never.
Yeah, who would have thought it, eh?
Yeah.
I just so you know, I had Van Dijk, and I've got Haaland as my captain. So,
oh
yeah, I've got 67
moved
points.
Above me now.
Have I?
Oh. Jacob Tamsawa still beating all of us. Oliver Boast is having his usual good season. The podcasters, I was even top of our in that number of podcast league.
Yeah, it was great. Wow, I say it was great.
When it lasted, yeah. I'm 23rd at the moment. Lucy Heiner is top. Thomas Shapes Toilet City is in second. And Josh Parkhouse is Parky FC in third.
And where's Tim in that league? Do you have to keep scrolling?
Way down this year.
Race 20th.
Hey! Oh, yeah. Still close between me and you, Kev.
Tim, can you see yourself?
Oh, I'm only 1 point ahead of you. Kev.
Yeah, Jim's 94th.
Yes, I'm doing pretty rough this year.
Oh dear. It's still early. There's still plenty of time to turn it around. No, not to worry.
Some smart ass triple captain and permanent. Get 66 points off that alone.
Oh god. Who do they triple captain? Firmino?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Ferdinand. I met him yesterday, by the way. I just breaking in. I met Crouch, Rio Ferdinand, and Paul Scholes yesterday.
Yeah.
So that was great. Kev, I got a where am I for you, right? And I've changed the scoring because I want you to have a guess more. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a free guess on the first clue, but you get one guess, okay?
Right.
And then you can carry on. So one free guess, yeah? Okay, so clue number one, this market town is located 241 miles from St. Mary's for 5 points. You might as well have a guess. It's a free one.
Peterborough.
No. Okay, so approximately 30 miles northeast of Manchester for 4 points.
That's going to put it in Yorkshire, isn't it?
It's always Yorkshire.
It's a market town.
Yeah.
It's not a city.
It's not a city.
So you can't be Leeds. Can't be Bradford. Oh, hang on a minute. Market town. Huddersfield town.
Is that your official guess?
Yeah, fuck it, go on then.
Yeah, you're right, Kev. Well done. 4 points. It's Huddersfield Town. The next clue was last played in the Premier League in 2019. And then it was in the county of West Yorkshire, sharing a border with the cities of Leeds, Bradford and Wakefield. You would have got it on that anyway. The last clue, nicknamed the Terriers. They wear blue and white stripes and have a capacity of 24,000. What's the name of the stadium?
John Smith Stadium.
It's the Kirklees, isn't it? But for sponsorship reasons, yeah, John Smith Stadium. Kev, that brings your score to 7.
Okay.
Well done, Kev. Excellent. That is about it for us this week. Next week, obviously, no Tim because he's away in Iceland. But it'll be me and Kev. We'll be discussing the Chelsea and Wolves games. And Kev, we've got to award our first Golden Player of the Month for August. How exciting. And we'll preview our return home against Brentford. Yeah, is there anything you guys want to add?
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton. Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.